We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, if he wants to send forth laborers in the harvest, why don't he go ahead and send them? Why would we have to ask him to do it? If that's what he wants done, why don't he just do it? Well, for the simple reason, dear friends, that you see, the harvest is Satan's territory. Jesus made man, Adam, put him here and gave him dominion over all the work of his hands. And Adam sold out to Satan. Satan became the god of this world. God can't just move in on Satan. If he did, then Satan could accuse him of being unjust, and he would be. But when somebody down here who lives here asks him, you've got that authority, then he can do it and be justified before all the universe.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, What Jesus Taught About Prayer, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Now you see, in all of these areas of praying and fasting and so on and so forth, if we don't have a balanced view of what the Bible said, we do more harm than we do good a lot of times and mislead people. Well, does the Bible teach fasting? Well, yes. However, there are no instructions in the letters written to the church. There are no instructions about fasting. In fact, the church is not told to fast. Now, they are told to pray. Paul, in one of the letters written to the church, or churches, said, cease not to pray. Hallelujah. And again, instructions are given about prayer. Now, the only thing about fasting in the letters written to the church is that Paul just stated that he did fast. Amen? He stated that he did fast. In fastings often, he said. But why aren't there any instructions? Why aren't we told to fast in any of the letters? We're told to pray. Pray without ceasing. Amen, aren't we? We're told to pray. Paul, James, Peter, John, Jude. Every single one of them mentions praying in some form or another. Jude says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. Peter talks about prayer from several different angles. One of them is from a husband and wife angle. We'll look at some of these scriptures in depth later on if we can get to them. He talks about husbands dwelling with their wife and honoring their wives. Now notice he made this expression, that your prayers be not hindered. Then evidently husbands and wives can hinder their praying. And husbands' attitude toward their wife can hinder their praying. Don't shout me down now just because I'm meddling. Well, I'm sure of this one thing. If a husband's attitude toward his wife could hinder their praying, a wife's attitude toward her husband could hinder their praying. John, then, has much to say about praying. This is the confidence that we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Glory to God. Amen? And then Paul, who wrote the most letters to the churches, again and again, as we pointed out, mentions about praying and encourages the church to pray. But neither Paul, nor John, nor James, nor Peter. I didn't quote James, so I better go back to James. That fifth chapter, you know, we're all acquainted with James 5:14. Is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, knowing the Lord, the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith, save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. But next verse says, pray ye one for another. Pray one for another. That's just the layman, not the elder. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified translation. It says continued fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So James is encouraging believers to pray, isn't he? All right. Paul, James, John, Peter, John, Jude, every apostle that wrote letters to the church encourages them to pray, says something about praying. Not a one of them said anything about fasting. Other than Paul did state that he fasted. What I'm saying is no instructions are given. Now I wonder why. Well, I think the main thing is that God leaves that up to you and the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, as he may lead you. But then Jesus gives some instructions here about it, that when you do fast, don't appear unto men to fast. I've seen people get up and say, well, I'm on my 12th day of a 30-day fast. I thought, oh, dear God, they're wasting all. They've already wasted 12 days, and they're going to waste 18 more now. I've heard preachers do it. Yeah, the Lord laid on my heart, I'm going to fast 30 days. I was holding a meeting one time, the pastor, well, she's an ordained minister too. Every night she'd get up and say, Sister so-and-so is on her fourth day of her, well, she's going to fast, I think, 18 days. 18 or 14 days, what? 14-day fast. How many of you will join me? Every day she got one or two more idiots to join her. Someone said, I wouldn't talk that way. Well, you have to wake people up sometimes. Amen. So you have to awaken folks sometimes. Amen. And then things started happening in the meeting. People got blessed. In fact, they stated that and they'd been pastors there. She and her husband, both of them ordained ministers. They'd built this church, beautiful brick church, large auditorium. In fact, the largest auditorium in the city of any full gospel church. They'd been pastors there, I think, 25 years, 20 some odd years, quarter of a century. And they say this is the greatest revival. That is more in many respects. More people got healed in the revival that they ever had. Now, they'd had others that equal as many got saved. But they said this is the most people in any meeting we've ever had that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, tell you the truth about the matter. Pastor said there's more people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this meeting than any other 5 or 10 years put together since we've been here. Just one meeting. Think about that. But she'd get up every night and take credit for it. Said, Sister so-and-so's fasting. Isn't it wonderful? God's moving because I'm fasting. Well, I sat there and thought, I knew what was going to happen before I got here because I prayed and believed God. Your fasting didn't have a thing well to do with it. Now, it'd be all right if she wanted to fast, but when she gets up and bragged about it, that's all wrong. And attracts attention unto herself. She's already got her reward. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I said, can you say amen?
Amen.
We need to be very careful about this in this area because even if God did lead us into something, which he never has me, well, you may mislead others that he's not leading, and they all want to do that same thing. Amen? Well, I better not dwell too long on that, but let's just simply listen to what he had to say about it. And that he just simply says, makes this statement, that you are not to appear unto men to fast, for he says that when you do that, then you have your reward. You just got the applaud of men. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Now, of course, if you're around folks, you know, your kin folks, well, they're going to know you're fasting all right. But he's talking about out in the public, appear not unto the men to fast. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Can you say amen? All right, let's go a little further. Turn over to the 9th chapter of Matthew. The 9th chapter of Matthew. Here's something that Jesus said about prayer. Let's notice the 36th through the 38th verse here of the 9th chapter. But when he saw, that is Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, you'll notice that here in Matthew, here in the fifth chapter, and here in the ninth chapter, are two things that Jesus distinctly said to pray for. So you can know you're in the will of God. One thing about it when you're praying here. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Hallelujah. Now, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, if he wants to send forth laborers in the harvest, why don't he go ahead and send them? Why would we have to ask him to do it? If that's what he wants done, why don't he just do it? Well, for the simple reason, dear friends, that you see, the harvest is Satan's territory. Jesus made man, Adam, put him here and gave him dominion over all the work of his hands. And Adam sold out to Satan. Satan became the god of this world. God can't just move in on Satan. If he did, then Satan could accuse him of being unjust, and he would be. But when somebody down here who lives here asks him, you've got that authority, then he can do it and be justified before all the universe and still be holy God. Can you see that?
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, God's Greater Glory, Bring Revival to This Generation. Next is Lynette Hagin's 3-CD series entitled, If I Can, You Can. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Deep Roots in God. All these items are for the special price of only $35. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Denise Hagin Burns and Lynette Hagin.
Well, Rhema Bible Training College is going to be coming real soon.
Yes, but you know what? You can still apply. We still have spots for this fall.
Yes.
You can go to rbtc.org and apply there. We have courses in pastoral ministries,
yes,
biblical studies, student ministries, world missions, music and media, itinerant ministry.
Absolutely.
And you also just get a basic knowledge of the Bible and the Word of God. So if you're not interested in going into full-time ministry, you just want to learn more about the Bible, come on and join us, rbtc.org.
That's right.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, What Jesus Taught About Prayer. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.